Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, I am back from the PGA show with all sorts of news and content from the trip. And it was a gigantic week in the world of golf. PGA Tour, Torrey Pines, I delivered another winning moment for us in the podcast and another week of drama with the LIV and DP World Tour and a Rory Reed beef that we got to break down. And a potential cheating scandal as well, too. We're tuned into my viral video update and a bit of a trek up north for my co-host. And this week's guest, our first of many interviews on the PGA show floor, we have Stacy Lewis, who I met and interviewed live there. Solheim Cup captain, former world number one, multiple major champion, an awesome conversation coming your way. And it's the end of the January diet and New England food plans for Michael when we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. And Mike, I got to see the team from Desert Fox Golf this past week.
Yeah, how were they? Were they good?
It was good. Yeah, no, it was good to see Scott there and Logan, who were repping the brand really well. They had a very well set to put together booth. And the thing I really noticed, especially from last year to this year, is every time people walked by the Desert Fox booth, you'll appreciate this. They said, oh, I know you guys. The familiarity was through the roof for Desert Fox Golf. So if you don't know them already, be sure to check out desertfoxgolf.com and desertfoxproducts.com. The phone caddy, the tumbler, the cigar holder. And oh, by the way, I'll keep it off air, Mike. More products to come from the team as well, too. So get excited for that. It's all at desertfoxgolf.com. Our promo code is Course of Life to save 10%. Again, Course of Life to save 10% off anything at desertfoxgolf.com and desertfoxproducts.com.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Vorus Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, while the fun was really in Orlando during the week, there was also a lot of fun in the world of golf on the courses, both at Torrey Pines and at the DP World Tour. We'll talk about everything, all that drama as well. But let's start with the guy who has four wins in his last 29 starts.
Damn.
Arguably... He joins Roy McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay, John Rahm, and Justin Thomas as players with six or more on tour since May of 2019. And of course, we're talking about Max Homa.
Also the funniest tweeter in the game of golf as well.
Yes. Yes. He's exactly what this game needs right now. I think you could say he's really dialed in on the course. He's great on social media. He's great on camera. He's a father now, of course, as well. And he rolled to a win, giving you what, your second winner of 2023 already as well in your picks.
Yeah, we're hot. Just 21 odds for Max Homa on the winner. Yeah, yeah, very special win there. Good to see the Cali kid get it done for, like you mentioned, his sixth PGA Tour win. Max Homa, you know, quietly racking them up now. He was just kind of a fun running joke in our community because we knew him as the guy that was the really funny tweeter that like didn't really win a lot, but he was just our lovable friend on the internet streets. But now Max Homa is a legit commodity and a world-class player and a top 10, top 20 type of guy that needs to be considered for major championships this year. I'll get ahead of the question you'll already ask, Mike. Jim Nance was already teasing Max Homa as a potential favorite at the U.S. Open at L.A. Country Club. So how about that for a potential hometown winner in 5 or 6 months?
I mean, I don't remember what the number is, but I believe the majority of Homa's wins have come in California. This is where he seems to do best.
And he's got that one, so at least half of them, yeah.
So Max Homa, okay, so favorite in later this year, potentially. I think you have to have his name in any conversation for any major this year, the way he's been playing. We kind of had his name last year as well. My other thought, though, when I actually saw this, and I don't remember exactly what it was a tweet about comparing Homa and Phil Mickelson and how Mickelson didn't start winning majors till late in his career, kind of took him a while to maybe figure out that this is what he actually wanted to do. I think of Homa as being that kind of personable guy that we thought Phil was. I say thought because now we all know.
We remember. Yep.
So is Phil Homa, is Phil Homa, is Max Homa the new Phil Mickelson?
That's an interesting way to putting it. You know, is he that kind of charismatic figure that's just got such a, you know, presence and a posture on the course, you know, that he is a crowd favorite by all counts? Yeah, he could be that guy. And I think his wit and his game online kind of helps him in the real world because he's not one of those golfers that really ever gets like chirped. It's just all kind of funny, jokey banter back and forth with Max Homa. So it's like he's just kind of part of the joke about like, yeah, look at me. I'm just this kind of average golfer guy, and I just happen to be putting it together. And yeah, I guess I'm winning. This is funny, isn't it? And now it's starting to get real now that he's racking up the wins. But he does give off of a lot of those vibes. And hey, man, if you tell him right now, I'm sure he would take Phil Mickelson's career success on the PGA Tour. So he'll take that comparison for sure.
I'm sure he would. Let's also talk about who you said on last week's podcast when we were talking about this. You said John Rahm.
I did.
John Rahm had bookended two very good rounds with some not so good rounds.
Yeah, he sniffed contention early in the weekend there. And he climbed about 100 places on the leaderboard between Thursday and Saturday. And then it did fall apart for him. And he made himself known. He had a presence. It looked like there was a chance where he could have gone a little birdie binge to end his Saturday round, beg your pardon, to get in there and continue the ultimate heater of heaters. But the bottom line is it was unsustainable. I mean, even a guy like him that's on absolute fire can only rev it up to 100% so many weeks in a row. Again, not a testament to the fact he'll still be around a million more leaderboards this year, but could not keep the crazy heater going, I guess.
Let's talk about easy money. Taylor Montgomery tied for 31st, not in the top 20. Is this just a blip on the radar, you think, this week?
Yeah, a week off of the nickname, I guess, right? The nickname took a week off. He did a really cool feature on PGA Tour The Cut, for those who didn't see it on the Golf Channel, profiling his background. But we've had Taylor on the show multiple times, and last summer we did when he qualified for the U.S. Open. So be sure to check that conversation out. But he'll be back for more in the coming weeks, for sure.
Well, one more name I want to throw out there, because I'm just constantly surprised that at his age, he's still kind of getting, he seems to be having a renaissance, and that is Keegan Bradley, our New England boy, your hometown connection. I mean, is he seems once again, he's playing good golf. He was last year as well when we thought he had a chance at the country club in Brookline. Is he poised to maybe try to win himself another major this year? Is he still trying to have one last push here?
Yeah, it's interesting to see his name on the board because we love kind of following him because of that New England connection and my background playing against him in high school. But yeah, I think that was that solo second or third he finished there?
Solo second. He's now third in the FedEx Cup as well. I mean,
that's literally the type of week where if you just finish solo second in a PGA Tour event, you could do absolutely diddly poo for the rest of the year. And it actually it doesn't matter. Like, that like pretty much just like locks up his those finishes are so huge for a guy like that who may not make a ton of leaderboard appearances, but when he does, he make his name felt, you know, he's good with that leaderboard presence. So maybe there is that one more renaissance. We clip one more Keegan Bradley trophy before it's all said and done.
Yeah. One more thing I want to talk about that we didn't put in our notes, but I just remember I'm looking at this leaderboard again. Sam Ryder, who was, you know, looked like maybe he was going to have a chance to win, had that strong 64 to start the week.
Yeah.
He came out in joggers with what Phil Mickelson, who's back on Twitter, said 4 inches of skin showing.
Was it 4 inches? I don't know. Probably about 2.5. Right. A little aggressive there, but
I mean.
So Phil,
I don't know whether
was making fun of the ankle being shown, but then comparing that to him wearing shorts. Correct? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So I don't know if I'm really trying to say something about Sam Ryder here or Phil Mickelson. I just think this is odd to see Phil chirping right now on the PGA Tour. So
very funny. And we do have a fun style conversation coming in the next few weeks that I recorded the PGA show where we get into the joggers as well, too. And Sam Ryder's name does come up in that conversation. I would argue, and our future guest will argue as well, that Sam Ryder actually rocks the joggers probably even better than you are. Shout out to the tee up pants that we love. But yes. I mean, that guy's like 6'2", strapping, broad shoulders. Like, I mean, he's wearing them pretty nicely out there. So,
I mean, if I was super fit, I'd be rocking joggers more often, but I'm not. So, all right, let's talk about the DP World Tour.
They were still over there in Dubai.
Wow, in Dubai for the Hero Dubai, whatever. I don't know, whatever it's called out there right now.
By desert.
So let's start with Tuesday. Rory was on the
range.
He was kneeled down. I don't know what he was doing kneeled down. He was out there with his crew. And then Patrick Reed, who for whatever reason is still allowed to play in these things, goes on up to say Happy New Year. Now, granted, it's the end of January. I don't know why we're still saying
that. That's a late Happy New Year. Thanks for pointing that out.
Late Happy New Year. Obviously, because the two of these guys have not communicated in any way, shape, or form since the new year started.
Right. And except for the little blip where Patrick Reed's lawyers subpoenaed Rory McIlroy on Christmas Eve. So
that was Christmas Eve. That wasn't New Year's. That was Christmas Eve.
Oh, right. Yes, so that's right. We're turning over a new leaf. Sorry.
So Reed sticks his hand out to Rory, and Rory is oblivious to it, doesn't see it, no indication of caring about it. So Reed turns around, reaches into his pocket, and just kind of flicks a four aces tee in his direction.
The tee flick around the world, as they call it.
Oh my goodness. And it really, I mean, that was enough, but then just the pressers afterwards and what the two of them said to each other in their press conferences.
Downright awkward, a little cringy. One of those things where you watch the press conference, you're like, ooh, I feel a little weird about watching this right now.
I mean, yeah, Reed saying that if he wants to act like a child, that's fine. Rory saying, like, he served me papers on Christmas Eve with my family. You really want to have a relationship with me at this point?
Yeah, insults back and forth, incredulous looks on the press conference stage all week between Rory and Reed. And it's so funny to see where that relationship's gone and how sour it's gotten. You remember not too long ago, Mike, it was that epic 2016 Ryder Cup where Rory and Reed had an amazing head-to-head match. And they went back and forth drilling putts on one another, and it was a fine moment of sportsmanship they displayed in that moment, and we are so 180 degrees away from that after all these years later. They couldn't hate each other more at this moment.
I mean I don't blame Rory McIlroy for not wanting to have anything at all to do with him after he was served papers on Christmas Eve. I feel the same exact way. It's like, look, you left the PGA Tour, you decided to blast everybody in the process and burn all your bridges, and then you served me frickin' papers on Christmas Eve with my family. I mean, screw you. Yeah, I don't have a problem.
Yes.
My particular favorite moment from all this, though, was in that press conference with Rory, where the reporter actually asked him if he ever saw a world where he and Reed would get together again and be friends.
Right.
And Rory just this incredulous look of like, did you actually just ask me this question? I mean, no, it was just it's kind of
completely
crazy.
Flabbergasted by that question was Rory. That was a funny moment. So that was just the beginning of the week right there. Then we actually started playing. And what Patrick Reed filled controversial week isn't complete without a cheating scandal, right? We have to have one of those, of course, right?
We have to. So supposedly on, what was it, 16 on Sunday?
I think so,
which was round three because it was delayed today because of weather. Yeah. So we had the PGA Tour going Wednesday to Saturday and the DP World Tour doing really
everything's
Friday
backwards, yes.
So everything was weird here. And ball went into the tree. One of three trees in the replay looking like it went on the tree closest to the tee.
Correct.
But then they all looked in the binoculars and found the ball in the tree that was further from the fairway.
With a clean lie and angle to the hole.
Yeah.
A little questionable. And yeah, there was a Pruder film left and right. And we analyzed every single golf ball and dimple and arrow mark in all those lodged golf balls. I got to say, there aren't many pro level pro V1s lodged in that tree. So you can do the whole breakdown if you want on Twitter and look at the photo in depth. But the bottom line is it looks like Patrick Reed may have been fibbing a little bit on exactly where his ball ended up to his advantage on the golf course. That's how it's coming across at the moment.
Yeah. A lot of questions about that. I do have to point out Ryan French, Monday Q's tweet.
Yes.
About saying if there isn't a reporter getting a cherry picker and going up into those trees after that round, then why are there even reporters at a golf tournament?
Yeah, man, that's what it's all about. If I'm out here one day, I want to be out here covering these events. I will be that guy in the middle of the night going up there with a cherry picker. I will do that for the content.
It's just unbelievable.
And then, so that carried on. And then obviously we had to have these two guys duel to the finish because of course, like what is a headline loaded week without the two of them now actually playing it out on the golf course? And the drama went all the way into Monday morning there too.
Well, you know what I have to say though, is that Reed has always thrived on being the bad guy, and he was able to put himself in that position on Tuesday. And I think that gave him the motivation to actually play well, and he played well, but he's not nearly as good as a world number one player, Rory McIlroy.
No, he's not. Reed did take the lead at one point during the final round, but Rory grabbed it back, a dramatic birdie finish. And I got to say, Mike, you know, this is a DP World event. It means something to Rory. But Rory celebrated that winning putt on 18 as if he had just won the elusive green jacket he never had. Like he went nuts. He went very nuts. And you could tell there was a little bit extra behind that celebration. I can't imagine why, right?
Well, I'm sure it means more because he didn't have to play Patrick Reed in the playoffs. So that was, you know, a green jacket in itself, maybe.
That would have been quite the video of if that had happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Rory McIlroy wins in the DP World Tour over Patrick Reed. Let's look to what else was going on in the world of golf during the past week. And that, of course, was the PGA show in Orlando at the Orange County Convention Center, right down there. I've driven past it a couple times when I've been down in the Orlando area. It's an awfully big center. And you were there for a fast 48 hours interviewing just about anybody and everybody that would let you shove a microphone in front of their face, which was a surprising array of different people who we may actually know.
Yeah, it was interesting, Mick, because what happened is this was the second PGA show I'd been to. So I already knew the lay of the land. I already knew my game plan. I knew exactly what I was in for going in. And I said this to myself last year, but it really resonated this year. It's such an interesting vibe, Mike, because you and I in our daily lives, we come across maybe what? A max of 3, 4, 5 people that you know that you see in like a given day, you know, a few coworkers, your wife, and maybe a couple friends on an aggressive day.
Yeah.
When I was in the PGA show floor, I mean, I was shaking hands and having conversations with 100 people I knew each day. It was like this alternate reality where like we were like back at the high school dance, except we were the cool kids and you knew everyone. And it was cool to just talk to everyone. And the networking was on a million all week. So that was the fun vibe and takeaway I got from the week. So it was just great to see everyone of past guests, current guests, and future guests as well.
So you were there 48 hours on the floor. You had a nice little booth as well. So what was some of the best things you saw during the course of those 2 days?
Yes, that's right. So we had a really cool setup. Shout out to the PGA and their media center right on the show floor. Nice little walk by stand up area, super well lit, you know, professional camera setup, really makes the videos pop. And reminder to subscribe to us on YouTube because we're going to have videos for this week's guest and future guests as well too. So it's great to get that video content. And Mike, it's all about that live show setup I did on Wednesday. We had a great live show, which we're going to bring to you on next week's pod. I got to get you here next year for this live show because the actual feeling of having legitimate light mics with my voice booming out to the PGA show floor was very strange. That is a vibe I never thought I would feel in my life. But it was cool to be broadcasting to the show floor and just saw absolutely everything from equipment to fashion to technology and the way the game is changing. It was on full display throughout the show.
So this year there was no, like, I think showstopper, though, from some of the things that I've seen in terms of like the pub that was built at the PGA show last year.
Yeah, good observation. Remember our friends at Pub Og last year who we had on?
Yeah.
Good memory. That's right. Yeah. I don't know if there was quite a showstopper. The big event for us was just having all the big manufacturers back. So I got to hit all the new clubs. I got to learn everything about every type of Pro V1 you could imagine. I hit the brand new Callaway Paradigm driver, which the whole show was buzzing about. And I hit some bombs on the sim with that thing. So that was neat. Fun little note takeaways for us, Mike. I'll just throw some random things your way. Spain for the Solheim Cup or Lynx Golf in Ireland? What do you think? Which one would you rather do?
Yes.
Yeah, yes to both. All right. Okay, it's a two-stop European trip then. Okay, so I'm working on that. Yeah. Florida, Georgia event, Mike, the largest cocktail party in the world, biggest tailgate there is in college football. I think we got some plans for that this fall. I'm just going to tease our audience with that. It's in your neck of the woods. And I think this could be the year that I attend. So I look forward to that.
There it is.
And my final tease would probably be content creators, Mike, getting club deals. That's right. There's YouTubers and influencers that are now getting endorsement deals from TaylorMade and Titleist and Callaway, which at this time is a good reminder to say that we are open for a club deal. So if anyone wants to endorse us and have us play their equipment, we'd be glad to do that. Am I right?
Look, I'm using like 25, 30-year-old Tommy Armors here, so I could definitely use some new clubs.
All right, you're due for an upgrade. I'm due for an upgrade. There you go. Note to manufacturers out there, if you're listening to this and you like the content you saw from me on the show floor, then hit us up for that club deal for sure.
Yeah, we're definitely in the market for it. So a lot of exciting stuff. Again, next week we'll have that whole live interview that you did there that we'll put up here on the channel, because I will not be here next week. We'll talk about more of that in a second. So you'll
That's get okay. We yeah, like I said, we did the live show. We're going to have some awesome guests there. A few different friends are stopping by. I'll shout out some quick brands that gave me some freebies. I sent you a cool picture. I got a wonderful pineapple pattern putting grip from my friends at Sweet Roll. Shout out to them. Shout out to Dan at oldgolf.club. Mike, you'll appreciate this. He just takes old golf clubs and makes them into like s'mores sticks and bottle openers. Oldgolf.club for them. The drop knot. I sent you those wonderful head cover holders so you never lose a head cover again. And this this tour tee as well, too. They say I'm going to add 12 yards to my drive if I use this tour tee. So I'm going to have to report back on that soon.
Okay. We'll put it to the test and we'll see what happens. So a lot of cool swag as well from there. Let's look ahead now to the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. It's one of the more entertaining stops on tour out there on the West Coast. Yep. And of course, it's loaded. Jordan Spieth, Justin Rose, Matthew Fitzpatrick, and celebrities. Bill Murray, I'm sure, will be out there as well as usual. So who do you think? Bill Murray, win or lose? What's happening?
No, lose. Our celebrity pick is our friend of the show, Pat Monahan from Train, playing in this week's event back at Pebble. He loves that week, and he gushes on and on about how much he waits for Pebble Beach week. So hopefully this is his time to shine. It's funny, he's previously partnered with Jason Kokrak, who is obviously not on the PGA Tour anymore. So we'll see who he plays with this year. Jordan Spieth and Jake Owen, going to be a very popular duo out there. Of course, they're always trying to win the group competition. Spieth definitely one of the favorites in the field this week. I don't know if he's on my card. You can check out runyourpool.com for the full preview. But who is on my card is a guy I saw last week at the PGA show, actually. Matt Fitzpatrick, our U.S. Open champ from last year. This is his first event of 2023, Mike. He's just been chilling in Orlando, practicing, getting the game ready. He's fresh. He's ready to go. He finished in the top 10 here last year. So Fitzpatrick is just one of my guys who I like this week at Pebble.
All right. Full picks will be up on Twitter, Course of Life 1.
Yes.
So make sure you're checking it out there. Let's go ahead and change over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. As I just teased a moment ago, Alex, I am preparing myself for a trip back to see the family in New Hampshire.
Oh, boy.
Maybe a little half day in Boston. Going to go skiing one day as well. So let's hope I don't die during that.
Wait, first time in how long since you skied last?
Maybe about 5 years, 4 or 5 years.
Okay, not too long. Should be all right.
No, it's not that long. It's not too bad. It'll be fine. And it's a mountain I've skied a lot. I know the mountain, you know, because obviously you remember that sort of things.
Yeah. So New Hampshire, bear of the winter right now. You do realize what time of the year it is on the calendar, right?
Yeah. It supposedly has been a very mild winter. However, right now, the long term forecast looks like the day I arrive on Saturday, a high of only 10 degrees.
Oh, that's glorious. That's just like my wonderful Christmas trip to Illinois where I froze my butt off for a week. Wow. That is going to be quite miserable, Mr. Southern Georgia. Wow.
Yeah, it's going to, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
But I'm
certainly looking forward to it.
Add layers. Wear long underwear. Don't be too much of a man. Put the long underwear on. Do it. Trust me. It was a lifesaver for me.
You know, it's you do what you have to do to survive. You do what you have to.
Good luck on the slopes too, man. I just, just stay out of everyone's way. That's all I ask.
Yeah. Well, I just ask for the snowboarders to get out of the middle of the runs because they just carve it up. They make it horrible for the skiers. And then they just sit down in the middle of the intersections and they just ask to get hit. It's just
there you go, everyone. Hey, snowboarders out there. Mike, tell everyone what mountain you're going to. Snowboarders, I got a meetup for you to next week.
Mount Sunapee in New Hampshire. There you go.
Say hi to Mike out there on the slopes.
What's gotten you tuned in? This
is a funny one. I wonder if this escaped your brain or not, but do you remember last summer I was approached randomly on Instagram for a video of mine that could potentially go viral? Do you remember this?
Yeah, that one where you were wakeboarding or something behind a boat and you fell down, right?
Yeah, I was tubing, head down, face first, and I did an epic flip, just massive wipeout. It looks great on camera. So there's an update. I finally got an update. How about that?
Okay.
7 months later, I got an email. Your video is now live. Okay, right. Ooh. So I guess this means that the service viral snare that has started sharing my video has now made it live. It went live in the last week. I checked it out, Mike. It has over 8,000 views. So it's being viewed. There are comments on the video. Yeah, I was very impressed with all of this. Okay. Now, there has not been any money that's come my way yet, but this means that they are in the process now. The video is out. It is for public consumption. It is now being shopped by them. So I can email a contact for more information. But there's an update. There is some progress. My video is out there. Of course, I will be shamelessly posting this all over social media. COL Podcast on Instagram, Course of Life, Alex as well. Course of Life One on Twitter and on Facebook. You'll find me. You'll see the video because the wipeout's now going to be everywhere. We're going to do everything we can to make this go viral for real.
I mean, here's my question. I'm going to post an over-under here for you.
Yep.
Over under 25 cents over the next 3 months for you.
Oh, the earnings. Okay. I will go over 25 cents in the next 3 months because I think this is the moment when it's going to happen right now. It's going to happen in the next 90 days. The aggressive, like, dream pie in the sky goal is like a service like a Chive TV cuts this agency a check. And basically, I'm going to be getting 60% and they're getting 40%. So if they cut a check that's like two or three or four digits in dream world, that I would be like totally happy. That would make my day. So over 25 cents in the next 3 months, but it's got to happen soon or else it might not happen at all. So I'll post the short. You guys can enjoy the wipeout for yourself, but who knows? Maybe this is just the beginning of something great.
Maybe we'll keep our eyes on it and see what happens.
Oh yeah.
Let's go ahead and get into this week's guest. At the beginning of the PGA show, Alex, you just didn't know what you were going to get. So many different people lined up and everything.
You're right.
You did start off big with Stacey Lewis, a former world number one and captain of this year's upcoming Solheim Cup team competing in Southern Spain. That's why we're thinking about Southern Spain later this year.
Oh, yeah. And shout out to our friends at Golf Spain, who I talked to last week as well. We love them as well, too. We're big fans of them. We'll be talking with them more. But yeah, the Solheim Cup is later this year there. And Stacey was very gracious enough to give us some of her time on the show floor. She was popping around from Mizuno, doing an appearance there. Talked a lot about her club deal. She's back with Mizuno. She gets into that. The state of her game. Some of her best pro memories. We're obviously talking food, Mike. Houston's a great food city where she lives. And we're getting into the Solheim Cup, and I'm vouching for a couple past guests as well. So this is a fun one with Stacey Lewis.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So stay tuned for that, which we'll start in a moment. But first, let's talk about our friends at Voris Golf. They make some really great and fantastic golf gloves made of really super soft leather. They come in black and white with their sharp green logo on it.
They do. Yep.
And you may be thinking, like, why do I want to get a glove from Voris? I can get it from somebody else. Well, nobody else has the through-touch technology that Voris puts into their gloves so that you can keep that glove on your hand and still use your smartphone or your smartwatch or any other touch device with either your thumb or your forefinger. You got options. So you can make sure to keep using those smart devices while your glove is on your hand. You don't need to worry about ripping it off and stuffing it in your pocket and ruining it and getting it all creased. And
we know you're tracking every hole there. We know you're putting every score on your phone. Yeah. So this is for you out there.
So Voris, which, by the way, is German for advancement. That's what it's all about, is advancing and enhancing the golf experience. And that's exactly what the Voris Golf Glove does. You can check them out at vorisgolf.com. They've got polos and hats as well there. Their polos are made out of recycled materials, so they're trying to stay as forward in the industry as possible in terms of trying to keep green. And you can use our promo code COL18, and that saves you 18% off anything and everything at vorisgolf.com. Again, that's promo code COL18 at vorisgolf.com.
All right, live from the PGA show floor here in Orlando, Florida, it's Alex with the Course of Life podcast. We have a big guest here, a very big guest, former world number one, two-time major champion, LPGA Tour veteran. And yes, she has a little bit of a responsibility coming up later this year in Spain that we're going to get to. It's Stacey Lewis joining us. Stacey, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. Yeah. You've already made it through the logistical chaos of the PGA show. So you've got here. Is this old hat for you? Have you been to a lot of PGA shows? Are you fairly new to this?
I wouldn't say a lot. It's been a few years. I'd say I try to get in and out as quick as possible when I do come. So, but it is, it's really cool to see everybody in the industry get together, come check out all the new gadgets that are out there and, you know, get in and out as quick as possible.
It's neat. Yes, I do. I've got the 48-hour plan. So yes. I got in last night. It's going to be wall-to-wall today and tomorrow. I'm out Thursday night.
So I'm on the 24-hour plan. Oh, there so you there go. You go.
Speaking to it. Love it. So let's talk about, you know, your team, everything, you're with, your equipment, KPMG, Mizuno, Mizuno for a long time.
Right.
You have a really cool relationship with them. Just tell me about Mizuno as a brand and what keeps you coming back to them and playing their clubs.
Yeah, so actually back with them starting last year, I took a couple of year hiatus. Which it happens, right? With all companies, I think, across there. But yeah, I'm so excited to be back. Picked up Mizuno's when I was in college and just, I got to hit everything. And that was the clubs that I picked out and just been a tremendous supporter of mine. I mean, I love the clubs. I love the feel. I love the sound. So definitely visiting them here today. And, you know, got lots of people support me these days, you know, and KPMG is one of the big ones. And it's just really cool to have that many people on board and cheering for you and want you to do well.
It's the best. She's collared up in case it gets out. She's got the partner. She's
they're
got
almost all her. Covered up.
I love it. Yeah, like I mentioned off the top, a two-time major champion. One question people always love to ask in the world of golf, because when they see golfers get that second major championship, mm-hmm. to really validate, you know, the first one. What was the difference for you in overcoming that hurdle, the first one in 2011, the second in 2013? Was it a different vibe for you winning each of those majors, or did it come with experience?
Yeah, you know, well, first one was a first win. So, yeah, I mean, that one was, yeah. I wouldn't say unexpected, but it was. I mean, I was going up against Yanni Singh, who was number one in the world, winning everything. And so, I mean, that one was unexpected. And then it's how do you follow that up? And then started playing some really good golf kind of starting 2012. 12 to 14. And so you throw British Open in there in 2013, stopped MB's streak of trying to win all the majors in a year.
That was pretty cool
to do it and to do it at the old course, at the home of golf. I don't know how you top it.
No, I mean, the old course, that's one of the ones, you know, I always say, oh man, couple majors. That's one of the ones I pick. Open old course for sure. So let's get to now here in 2023 season. Just getting going now for the LPGA mm-hmm. Tour. What's the state of your game and how are things feeling with you now?
I need to play a little bit better. Yeah. I'd say last year is probably one of the more frustrating years that I've had. Just golf swing hasn't felt right. So took a little bit of time off, but not a lot because as golfers, you can't stop thinking about it. You're always just laying in bed thinking about what you can do better. Should I try this with my golf swing? Should I hands higher, hands lower, you know, whatever it is. So I'm just trying to get the golf swing a little bit better. And, but you know, life has changed a lot. I mean, I'm getting older. I can't go beat balls the way I used to. So just trying to find a little bit different way to do it. How good can I get my short game and still compete with these girls at Bauman?
I was going to ask, but I think you just answered the question. Maybe mm-hmm. one part of your game, you mm-hmm. think you need to put that extra work in to maybe get yourself over the hump in 2023, maybe get another win?
Well, I think my iron play has to get better. But like I said, I think I want my goal for the next however long I end up playing is how good can I get my short game? Because, I mean, I'm not going to hit it as far as Nelly Korda. You know, these girls absolutely bomb
it. Not either, for sure.
Yes. So it's like I have to find a different way to do it, you know, and your career is going to evolve with the times, and I just got to keep changing with it.
No, well said. Okay. Well, besides that and you playing, I think you got a little bit of responsibility that we want to talk about. The Solheim Cup.
Yes.
Congrats. It's the captainship year. We're here. I know this is probably going to start to get a little frenetic as the months go on for you. But what's the early vibe and the thoughts? Have you gotten out to Spain, or what do you know about the course and the venue and everything?
Yeah. So I went in August. We did a full site visit. I mean, spent 3 days there checking everything out, played the golf course twice. We've been busy already since probably last summer, really. We started rocking and rolling on a lot of things, and it was cool. January was kind of hit my 1 year from when I found out that I was going to be captain, and it was like, oh gosh, it's Solheim Cup year now. You know, you've been talking about it for so long, and now it's really coming. So it's been awesome so far. The golf course is south of Spain, which anyone wants to go. Oh, it's not a horrible place.
I haven't done the Europe trip yet.
South of Spain. Oh, it's beautiful. It is literally beautiful. it's the vacation spot where everybody from the UK goes. So,
Nice.
So it's an awesome place. There's tons of Airbnbs. So, come cheer us on. We'd love to have more people there and get this cup back.
Yeah. I think you were doing the procrastination thing that a lot of human beings do. Mm-hmm. You know, last year we're like, oh yeah, Solheim Cup's next year. It's next year. Yeah. Boy. All right, we're here now.
And now it's now it's here. Like 8 months away. Yes.
Good stuff. I'll talk about how deep the US roster is, and you can too, of mm-hmm. the difficult decisions you're gonna have to make. But I'll stand for a couple of people who've been on our show before. Uh-huh. I just got to hang out and meet with Ally Ewing a couple months ago at the CME.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, I know she's gonna want a little bit of redemption maybe from 2021. Talk to me about her game and what she could represent for Team USA potentially.
Yeah, she's just one of the most solid ball strikers we have on tour. Sneaky long off the tee. You don't really expect it playing with her. She's been a little bit streaky with the putter, but she seemed kind of figured things out at the end of last year. So just that veteran kind of calming influence. Like, she's just not one of those people that gets super high or super low. And she's just one of those people you want to pair with a young player and let them go have some fun.
Definitely. Yeah. So she's SEC. You're SEC.
Yes. Yes.
I got one more SEC. I call her Bulldog. She's tough.
Yeah.
Cheyenne Knight I had on the Course of Life a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
She's working her way up on the tour right now.
That's right.
So maybe a name to watch
there for you
the
go. Future.
But you got a lot of decisions ahead to make. So I know you'll be thinking about all this in the coming months.
Oh, yes. Sure. It's already on the radar.
Definitely. Love it. So tell me a little bit about what this year's going to look like for yourself, because mm-hmm. I know things have changed a lot for you in the last few years as a mom now.
Right.
Now, what's this all like in... What's a day in the life of Stacey Lewis like as a mom who's trying to be on the tour and trying to figure out everything that's ahead this year as well?
Yeah, life's busy. But the good thing is I like being busy. You know, I'm just the kind of person I like to stay doing stuff, whether it's even when I'm at home. I mean, I was cleaning out my closet a week ago, you know, like I stay busy. I like to do stuff. And so I don't remember what life was like before a 4-year-old, you know, it's just
before. Yep.
What did I do with all my free time? You know, it's just.
They make your schedule.
Yeah. If I'm not practicing, I'm doing something with her or doing something with Solheim. There's not, you know, don't ask me the question of what TV shows I'm binge watching because I don't have time for it, you know, or I fall asleep to it at night and I couldn't tell you what happened. So, so life is just different, you know, I mean, I don't do the same things I used to do, but that's okay.
Yeah, I have a buddy of mine who's got a 4 and 2-year-old right now. And every once in a while, he'll just call me and just say, hey, what's going on like in the news of the world?
Yeah,
I am just enshrouded in parenthood right now. So just give me the update.
Exactly.
I'm sure you're getting a little bit of that.
Yes.
tell me a little bit about, I mentioned SEC and your just relationship with Arkansas. I feel like you are just synonymous with that state.
Yeah.
I mean, when I think Arkansas, I think Bill Clinton and Stacey Lewis.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I know you have the relationship, obviously, with the school, the tournament in Northwest Arkansas. But just tell me what that local area means to you.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of adopted me. It's my second home, you know, and just went to school, you know, went on a visit, loved it when I was making my college choice, and was honestly probably one of the best decisions I've ever made in looking back on my career. Just got to some coaches that were really influential in my life, and they still are. And just feel like I got lucky on that side, because then it became, you know, kind of the stepping stone to what I've done after that. But yeah, I mean, everywhere I go, I mean, you'll see somebody that has an Arkansas hat on or an Arkansas shirt. I mean, I've been
call the hogs.
That
what it is? They're
gonna
call the hogs on
you. Just, I mean, I've been all over the world. I've been in Australia and people have come out in Arkansas shirts. And so I've never seen the reach with a state, a university like that, because there's no other professional sports team. So everybody is about the University of Arkansas. So it's a really cool relationship and something I really cherish.
That's what I learned when I moved to Austin with UT. It's just like, wow, when you're in a college sports town and there aren't pro sports, you realize that the city and the vibe revolves around
everything around it. Yes.
Very cool. Speaking of Mizuno, just let's give everyone a quick what's in the bag for 2023. Are there any changes or anything new to your clubs or whatever? What does everything look like for you?
Well, I'm still tweaking, so I can't give you the answers yet. Okay. You know, we're new driver head, working on trying some different shafts and irons and wedges. So I don't know what's going to be in the bag yet. I've got a few more weeks to figure that out.
All right. Well, stay tuned. Stay tuned on that. And curious, I love asking this question, any notable random thing in your golf bag that you like a notable accessory or coin marker or something superstitious that you just love breaking out on the course?
I'm not superstitious. I tell you the one thing, it's a little, I, almost, it's not really a beanie baby, but it's like a little animal, a little dog.
A little plush.
Yeah. So my mom gave it to me kind of as a good luck. It was my first tournament back from my back surgery when I was a kid. And it was it was just like a local tournament. It wasn't anything big, but she got and gave it to me as a good luck. And so this little dog has been in my golf bag ever since. I don't know if he's a good luck charm, but it's just kind of a reminder for me.
Is he named at all? Does he have a name?
No, he doesn't have a name. It's just more of a reminder. Yeah. A reminder of what I went through and, you know, kind of when you need that reminder of you're lucky to be playing golf right now. And, you know, you need to not take yourself so seriously sometimes.
That's a nice thing to maybe see in the more intense moments when you're out there.
Just when you go in there for a tee and you see the little guy, it's kind of like, okay, like.
Yeah, there's puppies in the world. Things are okay.
Things could be worse, right? Things could be worse.
Love it. Cool. So we both have a lot of Texan in us. Houston city that's going to be hosting the Chevron, which I think we're going to be at in a few months. I'll hopefully see you there. But one thing I love to do is ask some food questions in the interview. So I'm curious, Houston food scene is like sneaky, really diverse.
Yes.
There's like a lot going on. You can go in a lot of different directions cuisine wise. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, what are some of your favorites in Houston? Because it's an underrated food city, I think.
I mean, I got to go Texas barbecue first.
Yep.
You'll see a Rudy's when you're around. You got to go to Rudy's. Oh, yeah. Breakfast tacos are awesome.
Breakfast tacos,
but you can go there for dinner too.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. It's not really a restaurant, but if you're driving through Texas, you got to go to Bucky's.
Yep. I was going to ask what your Bucky's order was, but you beat me to it.
You got
to
experience it at least once. Best thing about Bucky's, you can get something different every time you go in there.
It's unreal. Yeah. It really is.
My daughter loves just walking around looking at everything.
Lost in there. I took my mom, visited me last fall, and the first thing I did is I drove her for the airport to the Bucky's in Bastrop. Yep. So I was like, you got to see this.
Yep.
She couldn't get over how amazing it was.
Yes.
I just had the Southwestern Trail Mix. Those were one of my favorites.
There you go.
I loved picking up a different flavor to pecan every time I get there.
Of course, Papados, Chewy's, the Tex-Mex.
Right. Papados, very underrated as well,
too. Yes, lots of choices.
So you got the Bucky's answer as well, too. And then we love to finish with the 19th hole question here on the course of life. So you get done after a round in the course, and you get into your favorite clubhouse, your favorite 19th hole. What's like your go-to order for a meal and a drink at the end of playing?
Man, my favorite meal, you're going to laugh, it's a burger and fries.
Yep. Now, hey, that's maybe the most popular answer in the history of the podcast.
I say especially like when you're overseas traveling and you come back in the U.S., like it's the first go-to meal.
Yeah. What is it about coming back to the U.S. and just having cheeseburger, right?
I don't know. It's cooked right. It's just the way you like it. It feels like home.
Very cool. Awesome. Hey, Stacey, thank you so much for hopping on the course of life. Again, enjoy the show.
Awesome.
Looking forward to seeing you at the Chevron and best of luck with everything.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thank you.
And we're back. Great chat there with Stacey. So, Alex, we going to Spain?
I mean, to invite from the captain. I mean, the captain of Team USA requested our presence in Spain for the Solheim Cup. That's all I'm going to say.
I need to know if I need to go get a new passport because my passport is very expired.
You might want to get it updated. I'm being like... kind of pretty serious. You might want to get it updated for later this year. Just a thought. It's out in the fall. We're going to watch how the team comes together. And obviously we'll be following Stacey this year. She's got some tough decisions ahead. So we'll be tracking the LPGA for sure. And that Solheim Cup watch to see who ends up making the squad, but we got to avenge 2021. So I'm excited to see the team that she brings over there. And again, a pleasure having Stacey. And like I mentioned to her, I think I'm going to connect with her in April. We moved the Chevron, that the former Dinosaur Craft Nabisco major from California over to here in the Woodlands in Texas. So I think I'll see the tour there next in a few months. Great to catch up with Stacey though.
And if you like that conversation with Stacey, plus everything else we do here on those podcasts, make sure you punch that subscribe button on the podcast app you're using. Or if you're using an app you don't usually use and you don't like it and you want to use a different app, you can subscribe there. We're literally on all the apps. Literally.
Yeah, and the video is up on YouTube right now of this interview as well.
That's right. So you can actually see what Stacey looks like, which you probably already know. And you can see what Alex looks like, which you probably didn't know.
Oh, no. Wait, why do we want to introduce that as a narrative, Mike? That's Nick.
You're better looking than I am. We'll just put it there.
So
you can make sure to follow us on Instagram as well. COL Podcast. He's Course of Life, Alex. I'm MWRINC on the gram. On Twitter, Course of Life 1 is Alex, and I'm still MWRINC on Twitter as well.
Yep.
Let's talk football. It was the NFL Conference Championship weekend. 49ers and Eagles. That was a disaster for the Niners, wasn't it?
It was. Well, sad. The problem is when your third string quarterback gets hurt and your fourth string quarterback gets hurt, that means that you're out of quarterbacks. And that's literally what happened to the Niners in the biggest game of their season. So without Brock Purdy, they just could not operate offensively and the Eagles just steamrolled them. There was not much to see at that NFC Championship game.
There was a lot to see at the Bengals and Chiefs game. It was, of course, a rematch of last year, and it all looked like maybe we were going to go to some extra free football until the Bengals committed one of the worst timed penalties of all time.
Yeah, and listen, man, I know the Bengals fans are mad or about some really crappy calls that happened throughout the game, but the bottom line in this game is it was tied, and in the final minutes of the game, both teams had at least one shot to go down and win. Okay, so say what you want, but the way it happened is Mahomes had 30 seconds, and that's more than enough time, as they proved in playoff pass, a horribly timed roughing the 15-yarder on Mahomes sets up the field goal, and that's it. The Chiefs sneak by. They get the vengeance on that rematch loss to Cincinnati. You handed them a tough one last year. And now we have the Eagles and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Can't say we're very surprised, Mike. These are the two number one seeds that both had the bye going in the playoffs.
So I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud on this podcast, but I am going to root for the Eagles.
Wow. You know, I have a lot of people coming to me saying they're rooting for the Eagles in this game. Just
well, you know what it is? The Chiefs are this generation's, I guess, for lack of a term, it's this generation's Patriots.
Wow. Yeah, that is an interesting way to put it. I mean, listen, Patrick Mahomes makes a living out of going to the Super Bowl. So
yeah,
I mean,
he is right now. Yep.
So, I can see how it's getting old in the general football fans narrative. I do understand that. So, it's funny. I wrote my preview on runyourpool.com. You can check out my early preview. My betting brain is picking the Chiefs. I think I am with you, and I would prefer to see the Eagles win. I'd like a fresh team winning the Super Bowl, and I don't need to have the Chiefs win another one for my Patriots legacy. Sure, I guess so. But it's going to be a fascinating matchup because it's Jalen Hurts, a quarterback who was often overlooked in college and has made a name for himself in the NFL, against Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback who already has the legacy, experience versus inexperience, toughness versus finesse. There's a lot of good juxtaposition in the matchup for sure.
I mean, the question is really, and we certainly saw that Mahomes was able to overcome injury in this AFC Championship game and lead the Chiefs to another Super Bowl. He now gets an extra week off to rest it, to be healthy, which we would expect him to be even better condition. And obviously the Chiefs have the experience of being in this setting a lot now.
Yeah, so. I know they do. And I was trying to tell my buddies who want and like the Eagles that Mahomes is going to be a different animal for this Eagles defense. You know, no offense, Mike, but look at the Eagles playoff run. They beat Daniel Jones and a fourth string quarterback in their playoff run to get the Super Bowl. They haven't quite had that test at QB on the other end yet.
The Eagles certainly kind of got to, you know, have a cakewalk into the Super Bowl here. The Giants didn't show up, which was just horrendous. And the 49ers didn't show up, which was also horrendous. So
where the Chiefs got a tough fight from the Jaguars and they got everything from the Bengals. So
yep. Let's see. Yep.
That's why I lean Chiefs. But again, there's a lot of that can change in the next week and a half. We're not going to have the chance to pop on next week, but be sure to read runyourpool.com because I'm going to do a full article on one of my favorite things to talk about, which is Super Bowl prop bets. So follow runyourpool.com and my articles over there. But the one thing we can get into is Chris Stapleton, national anthem. What do you think? You know, over under minute, what is it? Minute 40 about? What do you think? I don't know.
Minute 40? Over.
I think so. He's a pretty slow singer. Over. Think about Tennessee Whiskey, right? It takes him an hour to get that song out. So
exactly.
I'm going to have to go with the over. But we'll get into all that in the next week as we get closer to Super Bowl 57.
Let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes, let's do it. Our food segment to end every Course of Life podcast episode. Like I mentioned, now that I'm looking ahead and I've got the Super Bowl menu prepared, I'll go into it right now because it's my first big cheat meal, and I won't have the opportunity next week because we're showing our we're giving everyone our live show next week for the fans out there. But I am doing one dish to honor each city, Mike. So it's Philly cheesesteak egg rolls, and it's Kansas City style pork ribs barbecued. And then I'll just fill it in there with chips and dips and veggie tray. But I think that's the move. I'm doing one dish to honor each city in the game.
All right. What time should I be there?
Yeah, it's 5:30 kickoff here in Austin. So there's a couple flights out of Savannah early morning Sunday. You might have to connect in Atlanta, but I think you'll get here by about 1 or 2 p.m. First dish comes out at 3. How's that sound?
Well, tell you what, I'm flying back on that Saturday. So from New Hampshire, I'll just go straight to Austin.
Yeah, and
I'll
you know just, how the airlines yeah. work. Just a quick little delay, and next thing you know, yeah. you're looking at flights to Austin, right?
Exactly. I'm flying Southwest, so who knows where I'll end up.
Perfect. Our friends at Southwest, yeah. By the way, fun update. My Southwest debacle, they not only gave us miles for a free flight, which we already booked, they fully reimbursed all our hotel and meals for that week. How about that?
There you go. Southwest. Did you use those miles to fly to Savannah so you can, you know, hang out with me?
Yeah, we got that trip planned. It's that Florida, Georgia weekend, Mike. We're talking after the show. We got things to plan in 2023.
All right, there you go. And so you're going to be cheating at the Super Bowl. I'm going to be I never really was on the diet, so I'm just going to be eating food back in New Hampshire. The question is whether I was really hoping to be able to go to a Sugar Shack. You know what a Sugar Shack is.
Yeah, I do. It's been a while.
A maple Sugar Shack. It's where they make maple syrup, for those of you that aren't in the know. And New Hampshire maple syrup is the premier best. Don't give me any of that Canadian crap. It's the only maple syrup I want is from New Hampshire.
And no one knows what you're talking about. They're like, doesn't he mean Vermont? Or what?
No. New Hampshire's better than Vermont.
Okay, got it.
I'll take Vermont if I can't get New Hampshire, but don't give me that Canadian crap. All right. I just don't want it.
So Sugar Shack you could do. I mean, listen.
I might do it because it's not actually opening until like the end of the week. So,
oh yeah, that makes sense. Literally because of the timeline. I mean, whenever I go back to that area, the two things I'm always thinking of are Italian and seafood. Cause I just feel like those are the two types of cuisines that are just regionally specific, that are just done the best there. They're done well here, but they're done the best there. So I always lean on those two food types.
Well, so here's the question is that I will be in Boston for about a half day.
Nice.
Do I do Mike's or Modern?
You've been hitting me on the Modern bandwagon recently, so I feel like you have to live that out and go to Modern.
But it's been so long since I've been to either. I mean, I could go to both. They're across the street from each other. I could get one of each and do a taste test. So,
well, it's like doing the Pat's and the Geno's cheesesteak in Philly. You know what I mean? It's like the same thing. It's like you can you could do both, but I don't know. Do Modern. I mean, and the always fun vibe too is if you really have if you've got the extra hour, is you just literally walk in to any one of those Italian restaurants. And just order and it'll be great. Any one of them.
I mean, And so we'll see what happens. Nothing is set in stone. Okay. So I don't know. But I'd like to maybe try to go to one of those, either Mike's or Modern. We'll see what happens.
It's always End With Food on Instagram. If you want to check out that food content, we love posting there as well, too. And again, COL Podcast on IG. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. We appreciated seeing everyone at the PGA show. It was great to connect with a lot of you out there last week. Be sure to subscribe right now. Check us out on YouTube for the full interview with Stacey Lewis on video as well. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.